Trump campaign.
Hi, I'm trying to get a hold of the crew of the Geraldine. Are they there at the hotel?
Geraldine, is that a woman?
No, it's a boat that was in the harbor there. It should be Walt Jones.
How do we get to the website?
I'm sorry?
How do we get to your website?
I think you just go to www.mvgeraldine.com.
No, we can't get in that way.
Well, I don't know what's going on then.
Okay. Hang on a sec, I'll get your dad for you.
Thanks.
Hold it back.
Hi, this is Randy.
Hey, Randy, this is Shane. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Shane. Have you got the whole crew there?
Three-fourths of it.
All right, well, that's a start. I've got the recorder on, so everything you say can and will be used against you.
Okay. You might have to make some adjustments if there was a question for Mr. Sands that may not be appropriate, over.
That it seemed like there was some kind of an inside story there on that one.
Yeah, there's an inside story, and we'll talk to him about that one when we get back.
Okay, so we may just want to skip over that one, huh?
That's affirmative.
You guys sound like you're used to talking on the radio here.
Yeah, I have to get over it, because even the satellite phone sometimes will get about a couple-second delay, so
yeah,
I'll try to knock that off. Better talking back and forth with the dinghy.
Yeah. Well, first off, congratulations on your anniversary.
Thank you.
It's a heck of a way to celebrate.
A great crew, but I'd rather not be here with them today. but it didn't snow as much today, so that's a good thing. It's a little bit happier.
Yeah.
What? Ice in Harbor? Oh, okay. It's supposed to have some ice tonight falling from the sky. So at least it's not coming from the harbor, so we'll be all right.
Yeah, it sounds like when you were in Iqaluit that it was quite an ordeal keeping the ice off the boat.
Oh, it was something else. It sucked the life out of you in a heartbeat, because every 6 hours you were fighting it coming one way, you'd have maybe an hour of slack tide, and then you're fighting it going out.
Yeah.
And it was unreal. So we haven't seen it like that for 30, 35 years with some of the people we talked to. We're like, great, that happened to us. We're pretty excited about having a nice, hard mooring. And then to have the ice coming at you all night long took that advantage away. But no worries.
Was the worry there that the ice would damage the boat? Were the pieces big enough and moving fast enough that would have been a problem?
Yeah, some of them, they would leave a wake. So if you can, I mean, these things would be coming at you 2-3 knots, and some of them, we had a couple pictures that were posted. One, I'm standing by one of the icebergs, and only about 2 feet of it was sticking out of water, but the bottom was 25, 30 feet underwater, so they were quite large.
Yeah.
And just having them bounce off the boat or rip the transducer off was a concern, and some of them had quite a reach on them, so
right.
That was the main concern. And then a couple times we got real skinny and thought happy thoughts as a couple tried to kiss Geraldine from both ends. So we also had that, which proved to be a little bit damaging. But probably nothing too life threatening, but nonetheless, we didn't want to touch it.
Yeah, and even if you didn't try and fend them off, you probably wouldn't sleep that well, I guess.
No, there's a couple. I mean, when they run in hard enough to hit the deck or hit the hull, and it popped everybody awake in a heartbeat, because we didn't so much as move them as we moved us around them for quite a few. Some of the smaller ones we could actually push off.
Right.
Most of the time we just moved Geraldine, because they had so much water in the, so much of their girth in the water that the tide just moved them and we couldn't touch them.
Exactly.
So, good times. That's what this experience is about, something new every day.
Yeah.
Actually, we slept the best when we were on hard ground, and I swear Geraldine was still moving, so.
You got a little land sickness going on, huh?
Well, that, and you just wake up in the middle of the night and try to focus on a light, because you swear it was rocking.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if it was or not, but even when my dad and I, we stayed in the hotel for a night, I'd run to the window looking for ice, and your mom felt the building move and asked if there was an earthquake, and you just kind of get used to it, I guess.
Yeah. Maybe they're used to people coming off boats a little dingy.
Yeah. Well, I've got the crew here. What question do you want to shoot with first, and I can hand it off?
Well, I'm just going to kind of run down the list here in the order that they arrived. So the first came from Marcy Bowerman, and she's wondering, what was the most surprising experience that you've had that will change you in a positive way for the rest of your life?
Now, is that with she wants an answer from all the group, or?
Sure. I think if someone's got something that they want to share, go for it. I don't think we can restrict it to just one person.
Let me pose it to the group, and we'll see who comes up with the first good answer.
Okay.
Marcia's question about the event that will affect you positively for the rest of your life. That's a fire alarm. Hold on. That's a new experience as well.
So I guess nobody had a good answer, and we're on to the next question.
I think we do. Hold on one second.
Okay.
You answered? Oh, okay. My dad's saying he answered on the blog. Let me hand it off to Kip and see what her answer is.
Okay.
Wait, I would have to say my answer to that, to the experience that's going to change me, is the experience of being so afraid I wanted to turn around and run and not being able to, and watching your dad and Pat and Shane, but in particular your dad, go forward with so much courage and learning that I can trust that God is going to guide and direct him, and I don't have to be always putting my two cents in. And so, like, the time when we crossed ice in the fog, and the three of them working together, turn here, turn there, and Dad driving, and it just seemed like there was no way out, and yet he took us right through that. And the courage, seeing the courage of all the men, and in particular your dad, has just blessed me, really, with something I think that, well, I'll never forget. Mm-hmm. So that's my answer to that one.
Neat. That sounds like it's, it's unique to be in that troubling environment and just have it, have the people shine like that and see God work his wonders right there for you.
Well, I think, this is Shane again, some of that was courage, some of it was necessity, but it's definitely a trying situation, and I can definitely echo Kip's comments as well, just of not seeing the way through, even when we had clear days. And you're up on the flybridge, you're in the crow's nest, and with binoculars, you can see patches, but you cannot see a way through, and so that's 5-10 miles plus. And to come out the other end is a joyous occasion, and one where it was a tremendous learning experience in the process. Mm. Just slowly picking your way through every step that was in front of you, because that's all there was.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you still get a little bit, you still cringe when you see it on the horizon.
Yeah.
But there is a lot more confidence now with the things we've gone through. But if we see a line of ice on the horizon, we still kind of think about it. So I don't think that ever goes away, hopefully.
Yeah.
Here's Walt.
I have to say that God has spoken to us in the most incredible ways. I prayed one morning for breakfast that God protect us with a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Take it from the Exodus passage that is going to be studied in BSF this year. And that night up comes a pillar of fire hundreds of feet high that we could see, and there's a picture posted about it. Mm-hmm. There was a straight answer to say, okay, I'm with you. and will be with you always. That is indelibly implanted in my brain.
Hmm. Yeah, it's pretty amazing to see those pictures. And it looked like there was also a cloud over the top as well, not just the fire picture.
Oh, no, that's absolutely right. During the day month, been collecting a whole thing about a wing of protection.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got a whole cloud sequence, some of which you've seen and some of you haven't.
Mm.
But we've had sort of a cloud cover with sharp angular projections that, you know, anybody else would just say, well, that's just the way that, where the front line is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been right on top of us, you know, as we've traversed day after day after day.
Mm.
And it's pretty outstanding.
Yeah. Well, hopefully that'll continue as you go through the next portion of your journey, which could be a little trying as you go through the icy little bits here.
Yeah, keep praying. The Sarnia said tonight that for the first time, they said, I've got good news for you. You're going to make it through.
Okay. Now, who is that you were talking to?
Sarnia is where the ICE office, the Canadian ICE office is. We've been touching base with them every night at 6 o'clock.
Gotcha.
We've got several friends there in Ontario.
Uh-huh.
Who are giving us advice,
mm-hmm.
Weather updates and forecasts about what's going on.
And are they doing that over the radio verbally, or are they giving you text information?
We are doing that on the sat phone.
Okay.
What they want you to do, Randy, is they want you to talk on the SSB to the Coast Guard.
Uh-huh.
And the Coast Guard wants you to shift to a channel that's not on, we don't have programmed into the SSB.
Okay.
Heck, so it gets kind of hairy, but with the engine noise and the noise from the inverter,
yeah,
that comes on the set,
yeah,
it's listening pretty hard. We have improved the ground system on the SSB radio so that it's very much improved over it was when we started. When we started, we couldn't have an intelligent conversation.
Yeah.
Now we're having one with Peter Semediak. I'm not getting that sound right, but
right.
Peter in Cambridge Bay, virtually nightly. Tonight we're probably not going to get there because we should be having it in like 2 hours.
Right.
Maybe we'll get there, but he's been talking to the other boats going through, including Gary, who is on the single sailboat. He's alone on the sailboat.
Okay.
And Harriet posted something about hearing about a guy on a single boat.
Right.
He is trying to get into Johaven right now under sail alone because his engine won't start.
Oh, my goodness.
So we've been talking to him nightly on the radio, but he's not willing with the battery power dwindling to talk.
Yeah, so he's going from west to east.
He's going east.
Yeah.
He's going east.
Okay, so
he's stuck on the other side of the ice.
So moving to Harriet's question, so who was the sailboat in the picture at Pond Inlet?
At Pond Inlet, this is a French boat, and what we don't know much about them. We saw some of them in town,
uh-huh.
And we heard that they're taking people on a charter.
Okay.
They had like 10 people in the crew, and it was a French boat, and they took off, and they were here in Resolute a couple days. They left a couple days before we did, and they left here a couple days before we did, and they're heading south through Peel Sound.
Okay, so they're following the same route as you.
They're stuck on our side of the ice.
Okay.
They probably got through today.
Okay. Yeah, the latest ice report looked like it was, you know, pretty well wide open through Peel Sound.
Well, to the bottom of Peel Sound, it's fine. They were supposed to say 97 degrees longitude east of that line until we get to 69, we're doing this from memory, 6920 or 6940.
Yeah.
We're heading west, and we can actually go west, you know, so we don't have to go through Johaven, and we can cut the corner there, and that'll be fine. It'll be open water.
Okay. So
into Cambridge Bay.
Some of that might sound a little bit technical to people who are going to listen to this, but the area of Johaven is where Amundsen, the first guy through the Northwest Passage, stopped for a couple of winters. So you're gonna skip that spot and make up a little time by going straight to Cambridge Bay?
That's what we're going to try to do, yes, because, okay. You know, as we're being delayed waiting for parts, our parts are in Iqaluit right now, and we are on a priority shipment, but we are a priority lower than medicines, food, and mail. And so they have limited cargo carrying capacity on these planes, and they promised that even though we're priority and we're in Iqaluit, we're not on today's flight. We could be on tomorrow's flight. We will be on flight before Sunday for sure.
Okay.
And Sunday they're talking about a charter freighter to come up here.
Okay. So the parts you're waiting on are the new water maker and the part to fix the old water maker, right?
That is correct. And I wish they would have split them apart, because if they split it apart, the part that we really need to fix the water maker is about a pound or two.
I see.
Box is 100 pounds.
Gotcha. So it would be easy to slip it onto a plane if it was the light one, but the heavy box kind of makes it more difficult for them to include.
Yeah, and the schedule flights are turboprops, so they're not big planes, and 100 pounds makes a difference. You know, they're telling you to sit in this seat or that seat, right. Although through the month, every seat is sold out from Resolute, if you can imagine that.
Wow. It's a bustling metropolis there.
It is. Well, apparently, a lot of Arctic expeditions out of here, and we talked to people who went kayaking on Ellesmere Island and things like that.
Hmm.
So this is a launching spot for that, being one of the farthest northern cities that there is, and it's as far north as we're going to go.
Right.
On our trip. And so the interesting thing about this place that shocked me is that there's not a tree in sight.
Wow. It seems like from the pictures, the trees have been kind of few and far between in general.
Well, there you go. But it's,
Yeah. Let's move on to a question for Kip. This is from Peg Cordes, and that is how the provisions working out, because she had ordered some dried food and things that she'd never tried before. So how is that? Okay. It all looks good.
I'm going to pass it off to the chief chef.
Okay.
So Peg asked about how the provisioning's going.
Yeah, and the dry food and the other things that you hadn't tried. What's your impression of all that?
I will have to say that the difference between freeze-dried food and dehydrated food is everything. We have bought cans of freeze-dried peas and asparagus and spinach and corn, and it tastes like when you put it in soup, or even when you just add water to the spinach and just serve it up, it tastes like the real thing.
Hmm.
And it is hands down better than dehydrated food. So I could do an advertisement for Providential Pantry, who makes this stuff out of Utah, and this freeze-dried food is wonderful.
Super. Well, we're enjoying seeing the pictures. It sure looks good.
Yeah. Well, it has been like having fresh peas and fresh corn, really, to use, or frozen for that matter. And the dried things that we have, all the cereals and the leftover cereal when we make bulgur for breakfast in the morning, we found that works great in our bread for the day, or the leftover oatmeal just goes straight into the bread. So the grains are getting used. We've had barley for breakfast. It's just really fun, and I have probably got leftovers. We've got so much of it. So we're not going to go hungry on this boat.
Well, that's good. You're ready to get locked in the ice, huh, from a food standpoint.
Well, I don't know about getting ready to get locked in, but if we needed to, we will have plenty to eat all the way to Sitka, Alaska, and then some.
Oh, that's great.
I'm out of thyme and oregano. That's one thing that's happened, and you know how much I use those two spices.
Yeah.
And the cook here at the hotel, his name is Randy, by the way, he pulled out this great big box of thyme leaves and gave me a sandwich bag full, and the same with oregano. So, you know, along the way, we've been able to buy celery that is as nice as anything you'll find in California, or lettuce in the same way, or clementines. The only thing is you just pay for them. But we do have beautiful produce in a lot of these places that we've been. So we've treated ourselves. And as long as we have plenty of butter and lots of cream and a few fresh vegetables and these grains, we're just eating great.
Yeah, that sounds like a good recipe. Any recipe that starts with butter and cream is going to be good.
You grow big and strong, right?
It works.
But one thing that's kind of interesting is the fact that our refrigerator broke. And so we had the refrigerator filled with pots and pans and dry goods, like the flour, sugar, etc. And then in the coal cabinets along below the sink and under there, that is touches the outside of the hull. And so that now is between 44 and 50 degrees. So we are using that area as our refrigerator, and lower than the floorboards, it's 44 below there too. Hmm. So we've got lots of refrigerator space that's coming to us free, and then the refrigerator is filled with our storage stuff. So it's working out in kind of a funny way, and I'll post some pictures of that.
Hmm. So you're putting the ice water to good work for you.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Awesome, Mom. Well, it sounds like and looks like you guys aren't starving to death, so... That's a great answer for Peg's question. I had
The funny thing is everybody's lost weight.
Oh, yeah?
So we don't know how that's happening. With no exercise, everybody's losing weight. So,
yeah.
See.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead with your next question, bud.
This question comes from me, and in some ways I'm asking it because I'm jealous of Shane getting to do this adventure with his dad. And so the question is for Shane and Pat, what has it been like for the father and son team to share this adventure together?
Okay. So Randy's
Hi, Randy.
Hi, is this Pat?
Yes, it is.
All right. Did you get the question from Kip?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
It's been really fun for me seeing my son as a man. Mm-hmm. And learning to appreciate his wisdom and his skills, and to also learn that things have changed. It's not like father-son relationship in the past. I can't speak for us. He now has an opinion of his own, so I have to make sure that I speak only for me. And but it's been fun really building a relationship with him and coming to respect him as a man. And so that's been really a lot of fun for me.
Mm. It seems like you guys have been doing most of your shifts together and then Kip and Walt together. Is that right?
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. That's neat. So I imagine it's probably a lot of time that you spent together compared to, you know, in recent years, just having all that time together.
Shane's been gone from the home now. I've been married for 5 years and been gone from the home for 7 years, I think.
Mm-hmm.
7 or 8 years. And 8 years, Shane says. And so, you know, it's really been a long time since we've spent this much time together. I mean, we'll have a little bit of time together, holidays and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This is really a lot of time. We are doing the shifts together. That's been very, very enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and we talk a lot, but we're also enough introverts that we can just enjoy being present with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And not necessarily having to talk everything through.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's been very, very enjoyable, just being together through, you know, long hours as we're driving along.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess you guys had the bulk of the driving, it sounded like, these last couple of days when it was pretty heavy weather.
It was, you know, honestly, it was a lot of fun. You're basically trying to anticipate the waves coming and trying to anticipate which direction you need to go, and particularly when the waves are coming from several directions, which they were.
Yeah.
There were times where we had 1 and 2 meter waves, and occasionally 3 meter waves, to where they were coming at you from at least 2 different directions.
Mm.
And so we were arm wrestling the boat quite a bit, and it was kind of a new experience for me because we were getting, in Walt's judgment, 30-degree shifts on the boat forward to back. So there were times where I'm sure half of the boat was out of the water.
Wow.
You were climbing up a wave, and then you'd crash down into the other side.
Hmm.
And then the bow pulpit would dig into the next wave, and you'd get this huge cascade of water just slamming against the windows.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had a fair bit of those, and then a lot of side-to-side rocking, which is actually the most uncomfortable and the least you can prepare for, because that's mm-hmm. what tosses things out of the sink and pots off the stove and books off of the shelves, and so that side-to-side motion. And we were getting 20, 25-degree slams side-to-side where the boat is literally rocking up to 25 degrees.
Right.
So it was quite an interesting experience. And you're basically, the whole time, you're just wrestling with the wheel because you're trying to turn into those waves to the greatest degree possible.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it was a pretty good exercise. At the end of a few hours of that, you literally go to bed. Shane one time went to bed. I went to bed. And it was still very rough seas, and we just crashed. I mean, you know, it just kind of didn't, you know, prop me up in a corner, and I'm going to sleep because you're just literally, after you fight that for hours, you're just totally exhausted. And because part of it is that essentially you're on about a 2 or 3 or 4 hour adrenaline rush just constantly. And so when you basically turn over the helm to the next victim, you could stand me upside down. We're in a little wad somewhere, and I'd be able to sleep. So this is a shame with Shane. Shane was sleeping one time when there were actually, we didn't get any pictures to have documentary proof, but the anecdotal evidence was that he was levitating on his bed in the bow as the ship would come crashing down off some of those waves. So,
wow.
Quite an interesting experience.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Shane's been really good about documenting the crash standing up sleeping pictures, so we appreciate that from him.
Yeah.
Does he have anything that he wants to add on the father-son team sharing the adventure?
I'm sure he will. There was one other question, I think, that was, what's the first thing you're going to eat in a restaurant when you get home? And for me, it's going to be going to the Outback restaurant, getting one of their 9-ounce filet mignons, medium rare, a sweet potato, and a salad with tangy tomato dressing. So you can already put the order in for me. And if Outback wants an advertisement from up in the Arctic Circle, tell them to call. I'll turn the phone over to Shane, and he can fill in a little bit more from his perspective on the father-son aspects of it.
That's great. Thank you, Pat.
I will say that while my dad was crashing through the waves, and he had a big grin on his face, he was having a lot of fun. I did try to sleep the morning as I stayed up on anchor watch, but from a son's perspective, I told my wife, and she thought about it as well. Didn't know if we'd make it through without trying to rip each other's heads off a couple times because we're too much alike and we're in enclosed space, and I know I can get kind of grumpy and whatnot, but it's been good. It's fun just hanging out and teasing each other and having conversations in the evening and kind of what's going on, what do you think, here's what I think. Just good to have that time together again. Where you see each other interact, and we talk on the phone quite a bit, but it's good to have that time just to watch, and things you learn, things you pick up on, and overall, I've had a lot of good times, and I look forward to the continuance of those good times as we push farther south, and it's just fun to face the challenges. I think some of the times you catch us sleeping and we're napping because we're cruising through nice, smooth, calm water and try to put some money in the bank, so to speak, because other times it's kind of go, and
yeah.
It's nice to crash when you know the water's calm and everything's going well up on deck. So some other times we'll start getting at each other, but I think when we're occupied and everything else, it's a lot of fun. So.
That's great. Well, it sounds like some of the time you might wake up and have some mystery bruises from the sleeping during the night.
Yeah, that or I'll throw pillows and, well, I won't throw my blanket, but I'll look for anything handy that I can toss at my dad because I used to remember, and I'm sure I do it as well, that the noises of the night emanating from the nasal and nostril region are quite loud. And when I'm trying to listen for the anchor dragging and I can't tell the difference between that or my dad, I'm tossing things out at him, but I love him to death. And I know my time's coming, and I'm not sure my wife can have lots of stories about me in that aspect. So
we'll run an interview with her after.
Yeah, knowing that this nut didn't fall too far from the tree, I can't say anything bad because I think it's all coming down the line.
That's great, Shane. The next question is for my mom. So if you want to put her on, that'd be great.
Hold on.
Hi, Doug.
Hi. This question is for you, Kip, and it is from Jenny Jones, your daughter-in-law. And she is wondering how it is living in the locker room with all these men.
Well, I thought about that and how it is living in the locker room with all these men. And I thought back to the years that I had living in a locker room with you and your brother and your dad. What's happened is Pat and Shane have become part of my family over this last time, and so I sort of feel comfortable with all the shenanigans that go on amongst men, and all the talk and whatever else. And I don't know, sometimes I've gone downstairs and just started to do some of my own thing in our room for a little bit of quiet time to let them horse around as much as they want. But it hasn't been bad. These guys have been gentlemen. They appreciate all that I'm doing, and I feel sort of like a queen with the way they treat me. So I'm enjoying this trip.
Mm. Have you been teaching any of these gruff guys how to knit as you've been working on your project?
Nope, there's been no knitting happening with any of these guys. I have seen in some of the books about the different adventure, you know, different expeditions that came this way in the early 1900s and the late 1800s when they were snowed in. They were knitting. But these guys haven't gotten to the place where they're learning that yet.
If they get cold enough, maybe they will, huh?
Maybe so.
Yeah. Thanks. So I guess the next question is for, well, I guess Walt, and it's about the instruments.
Yeah,
is he there?
Let me hand it over to him. Yeah.
The question is about the instruments. You had mentioned in some of your posts that they're misbehaving as you get close to the magnetic North Pole. The question is what are the instruments doing? How do they misbehave, and what problems does that cause for you?
Well, we have two problems. One doesn't have anything to do with the North Pole, but once you get above about 5,000 feet, the depth sounder goes nuts, and it keeps looking for a echo, so it tells you that you're in 15 feet of water when you know you're in 7,000 feet. And the first couple times that happened to us, we kind of freaked out. We have a shallow water warning alarm. It goes off in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And so that drove us crazy for a while, but we finally figured that out. It's just way too deep.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing that happens is the autopilot needs an orientation of the boat to know where to steer to. It will steer to a GPS coordinate, which is independent of any magnetic North Pole, et cetera. But the orientation of the boat, the GPS doesn't tell you. The compass tells you that. And so because we're close to the magnetic North Pole, in fact, right now we're about 300 miles away.
Okay.
The electronics has no idea what orientation the boat's in.
Gotcha.
So when it tries to steer a course, it tries to turn to orient it where it thinks it's supposed to go, and then it changes its mind about where the boat was, and it goes another way. So it's just absolutely maddening because there's no way to engage the autopilot to drive independently. Now, what we can do is we can lay down a track on a turn plotter, and we can follow that track, but only by manual steering, because the electronic compass has no clue. And so that's the major problem that we have. And that's a new experience that they never had before. And, the other little interesting thing is we are now above 74 degrees north latitude. 74.40, I think, is roughly where Resolute is. the lines of latitude stay constantly spaced the way they're sliced, but longitude they converge at the poles.
Mm-hmm.
But we are making tracks, as people on the blog site can see, left and right. We've gone from, 82 to 92 degrees west longitude.
Mm-hmm.
Every couple of days, if we try to do that down in the continental United States, we'd be traversing from east of New York City or, the Canadian Maritimes to west of Chicago in just a couple of days at 7 miles an hour. So it's really pretty interesting to see how that's happened. And I'm excited too. We are now going to head south to Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of funny. Most people go north to Alaska, but we're going to go south to Alaska. And west to Alaska. So and we keep turning left all the time. So we're about to turn left and go south. And that's a new experience for your dad too, because I've always been pretty right all my life. So anyway, when we actually go south by Dutch Harbor, we will actually be west of the Hawaiian Islands. So then we have to come east again. So that's just further longitudinal anecdotal stuff. Yeah, and then we turn left again to come back into Kodiak Island. So anyway, that's the anomaly with the instruments. And Pat's got his hand. He can't wait to get a hold of the phone. And here he is. For somebody who's shy and reserved, here's Pat.
Actually, I had a slightly different take on the what's happening with the boat when you engage the autopilot, because there was quite a discussion in our midst of whether we were going to turn left or right. And Kip had said that she wanted her half of the boat to turn right. And so we're now convinced that she has been praying for the Geraldine and has a special hookup with her, because every time you engage auto, or the autopilot, the boat turns to the right.
Gotcha.
And so we think that we're having to resist that feminine power source is flipping the boat to the right constantly. So we had a lot of fun laughing about that.
That's great. Well, I'm glad that it turns right instead of tearing in half.
Yeah. We are too.
Yeah. The next question, Pat, on the list was what you're going to order at Outback Steakhouse. Is there anything on anybody else's menu?
The question was, is there anything on anybody else's menu that you're going to order as your first thing when you get back? Actually, Shane said he's going to do that when we get down to Alaska. He's going to get on the dock, and I'll let him tell you what he's going to do here. Well, my comment when we were, my dad and I were having a conversation about this, I said, when I hit the dock in the middle of my ticket, probably go get a good soak, but as far as the food, there's nothing that I could want, because every night, your mom comes up with something that I may or may not have had, and it is excellent. So, as far as I want for food, I have no concerns there, and it will be a treat, but it's definitely not something that I can't live without, because if I was going to continue to live on what I'm eating now, I think the weight loss would go away in the future, so I kind of like keeping it up. My dad needs to add one thing about the char. As you know, Randy, I sent some fishing poles and a box of tackle up here to try to catch some Arctic char, fabled Arctic char, and have been completely unsuccessful, including your dad and I went out one night in the Olive, and we were trolling up and down the bank, and there's a young guy out there with a gill net, and just while we were watching him, he brought in four at least 24-inch Arctic char and landed them in the boat. So the best I've been able to do is to talk to some local fishermen and buy some or trade them for some coffee and beg and borrow any way I can. But the Arctic char is absolutely fabulous. All of us love it.
Your mom has prepared it in a number of different ways. One night she does baked it with a sauce over it that was fabulous. And then if there's any leftovers, those get flipped into a seafood char chowder that we could eat leftovers of that for days at a time. And so it has been absolutely fabulous eating. And the char is a Walt just asked me to describe what it's like. The ones that we purchased are about a 24 to 30 inch trout looking fish. They're very similar to a trout. They're probably a little bit slimmer than a salmon, although I think some do come very large. They have a very aggressive set of teeth in their mouth, and the flesh is between an orange to a kind of a deep dark red. And the flavor is different than salmon. It's actually different than I think anything I've ever had. But it is not at all a strong or fishy or objectionable taste. It is an absolutely delicious fish, so we have enjoyed it very much. The coloration, Walt and I were talking about it, would be much more like a, what did we say, like a cutthroat trout or a something like that, a mountain stream kind of a fish. Yeah, there's no scale. The skin is good to eat,
mm-hmm.
and the flesh is just, yeah, it's a quite oily fish, but not strong at all. Just really absolutely delicious to eat. So we've enjoyed that. And then the real delight has been cruising across the ocean or pounding through waves. And to walk by the little set of stairs that you're very familiar with, and up comes wafting the smell of fresh baking bread. And we're literally, all of us are foaming at the mouth by the time it's time for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And we've experimented with all kinds of bread, as your mom said, leftover grains and stuff in it, but there was also some with dill and onions and lots of grains, so it's a... more of a wheat, a little bit of a heavy bread that is absolutely just scrumptious and mouth-watering. So, yeah, and then the bread, of course, is as far as your dad's concerned, is just a carrier for the butter. And so we really enjoyed that. But anyway, that's my version, and I'm sticking to it. So let me turn this over to Kip and see what she wants to eat when she gets back on dry land.
I don't have anything that I'm just dying for. I suppose it would a big green salad, because we can't get the lettuce that we're used to having a salad every night.
Mm-hmm.
So we're having them, but it isn't as often as we'd like.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, we've been just doing great.
Awesome. Well, as Shane was saying, the nut doesn't fall too far from the tree. I also use bread as a carrier device for the butter. So,
you do.
My mouth is really watering as Pat was giving that big description. Sounds like you're just taking great care of everybody.
Yeah. Well, it makes the day go by, so well when you have something yummy to look forward to eat. And I think it keeps the mood good and the everybody's optimistic and feeling good when there's good food around. That's true, and that. I spend a lot of time taking care to make good food, and I think everybody appreciates it, and I have more time than I normally do at home to spend time experimenting on things, and so I'm enjoying it.
That's great. Well, I noticed nobody so far has said the first thing they're going to do is go to Pete's Coffee and get some coffee.
No. We've been having good coffee, too. Pat came back from his trip to Africa with some Ethiopian coffee that is absolutely delicious.
Mm.
Whole bean, and we've been grinding it.
Mm-hmm.
So we've not only been enjoying the Pete's ourselves, but We've been enjoying this wonderful Ethiopian coffee he brought.
Mm.
And so we have plenty.
How much do you have left of the peats?
We're through at least half of it.
Mm.
And that's been because we've been giving a lot of it away.
Yeah.
Gave a pound away today as Ozzy, the proprietor of the hotel, came and picked us up and brought us to breakfast and just let us use the internet and one thing and another. So he got a pound of coffee from us and a big thank you.
That's super. Well, is there anything that Dad's looking forward to before we move on to the next question?
What was that, Randy?
The question was about the food item that you're going to have when you return to civilization. Is there anything Dad wants to add to that, or is he ready for the next one?
Walt, are you longing for something when you return to civilization? Is it something you want to eat? Not really.
Okay. Well, what about an amenity that you wish you could have while you were there on the boat? This is a calculating torture question.
Yeah. What amenity is it that you miss that as you're on the boat? I would say, as I thought about it, you know, I thought about, is it a shower? Is it, you know, the space that you're used to? I think the thing I miss the most is being able to pop on the internet and just at any time get information. We're so used to that now, and the ability to make contact with people and just get the information we want whenever we want it. If we all miss that, and we're so used to it, having lived in Silicon Valley, and even me, I think, of all the things, I miss that connection. Because we at some places, we could pull in and get Wi-Fi in marinas. Well, when you're on a trip like we have, there aren't even docks here.
Mm-hmm.
There is no place to dock up. There's no place to get internet. So that's not available to us. And then when we do get hooked up, so very often it's at such a slow speed that we are so spoiled. And it gets frustrating because it takes a long time. So I know for me that is what I decided I would put at number one. Let me pass it to Shane and see what he would say.
I think having access to the information I had to get on today and just kind of find out what's going on in the world, it's amazing. Time actually goes by seemingly fairly quick if you can imagine how long we've been gone. It doesn't seem like we've been gone that long. But as far as a major amenity, the space hasn't been too bad. Cold floors and rocking floors, I guess sometimes you kind of wish those would go away every once in a while when you get out. I always enjoyed a shower on the back deck, and this last time I would have preferred for it to be a little bit warmer than it was. It was a little bit quicker, and with the rationing of water, it was a short one, but my dad looked out and he said there was just steam rolling off of me everywhere. I was the hot point out in the cold world.
Mm.
And that made me think of one other question, but I'll go ahead and answer. How clean do you feel after a saltwater bath? Depends on how dirty you are. It wasn't bad. Looking back, I might do it a little bit differently. The soap doesn't lather and it doesn't wash off.
Mm.
And so I had this great film on me, but at the time it felt great, which I guess meant that was pretty darn dirty. I think everybody else enjoyed it either way.
Right.
But
I'm trying to picture climbing into my PJs with salt crystals all over myself.
Yeah, if you're not climbing into PJs, it's climbing into whatever you're going to wear for the next couple of days and just keeping it on. You have to run up in the middle of the night. It doesn't make sense to take it off and put it back on.
So, I gotcha.
Hopefully that's not too stinky of an image in your mind, but for the most part, I think we do pretty well.
There you go.
We air ourselves out as much as we can.
Thanks, Shane.
Well, all right, did you want to get your amenities, Paul?
Well, I don't know if it's amenities, but the thing that I've been learning is that I don't control so many things that I think I control. I don't control whether the systems are all working on the boat, and I don't control when the parts arrive.
and I don't control where the ice is coming from or going to, and I don't control so many things that I think that I've got a handle on. And so I've got to slow down. I have to be patient. I've got to just rest. And I think we're all kind of getting into that mode where I can't get to the email. That's all there is to it. I can't answer this question. You know, I can't do anything about it. So I just am going to be. That's really the way that people up here live. It's amazing. They just sort of flow with the nature. And we've got to do more of that also. And, of course, we're far, far removed still from where some of the people are living up here. But compared to where we live at Bass Pace, Silicon Valley, we have had to slow way down. It's, your regular heartbeat is all but gone. And it's pretty amazing how that works. And I've been eating great meals, but I've also lost weight. And if you look at the pictures of all of us from when we started to now, I think you can see that we've shed a couple pounds. Yet we don't feel deprived by any stretch of the imagination. We've been having dessert and cream and butter and triple C's every Sunday with instance. So we've had ice cream sandwiches with triple C's. Pretty good.
You're not planning to move to Resolute on us, are you?
I am not planning to move to Resolute. I can promise you that.
Okay, just checking.
So we are planning on coming back through. By the way, the ice has softened in the south end of Peel Sound, and today Sarnia said that we, for the first day, they said, I got good news for you, you're going to make it through. So we're anxious to get our parts, and we're anxious to get on our way and get through this block of ice so that we can be moving on around the top of Alaska, Point Barrow, and down into Nome. And then we'll essentially be ice-free home, but we still got, you know, another 1,800 miles to go after that. So you know, we're pretty close to halfway right now in terms of mileage.
So it sounds like for about the next week, the ice is the major concern, and then after that, then, you know, just weather and making the distance becomes the concern.
That's correct. It's ice. It, you know, the ice is going to be between now and Cambridge Bay a little bit after that. But once we get out by where Tuktoyaktuk is, then we're going to be it's going to be weather related. And what we're praying for is for Cossacks.
Well, I have to say, you guys are you're pushing the limits of my tongue ability to pronounce all the places you're going to and the people you're talking with.
Well, we have some things that you just can't get to. Like if you we were going to go to what was the name that for a while we were going to go to an island that refueled and we didn't go there. But there's an Indian name for it. There was an Inuit name. There's no way you could get there. It's all Q's and K's. Q's. And that's all there is to it. So, yeah, so it's Blot Island. Is, you know, the anglicized name, and we're sticking to that. So it's the only way we can do it.
Yeah.
Anyway, we are learning a ton. And Randy, we have met the nicest people in the artist that are willing to slow down, take time to help you and to listen. And that has been one of the biggest lessons. You know, if we would do that in Silicon Valley, what a different place we would live in. Pretty amazing. The people have been absolutely wonderful.
Oh, that's fantastic. It's been a pleasure to read about all the times people have been helping you along the way.
Just over and over and over, an angel comes our way.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the end of the questions that I had for you, Dad. Is there anything that you or anybody else wants to leave with the fans at mvgeraldine.com?
No, the only thing I have to say is we can't get on here because apparently it doesn't have a DNS entry in, you know, in Canada or something, I don't know. But I went to Google and we now have 3 or 4 pages of Google entries. So I was actually pretty impressed by that. So we've got a lot of people hitting the site.
Well, that's exciting. Anybody else have any other last things that they wanted to say to anybody in particular or just in general?
Anybody else have a message they want to say, you know, hello, Kathy, or something? That's a fire alarm going off, so here's Pat.
Hey there, Randy. I didn't know if there'd be an opportunity for me just to say a hi to Kathy to where she could actually go and hear my voice, but I'd love to do that. I love her very much, and I miss her, and I'm very grateful that she gave me the privilege of coming on this trip. And so, I love you, babe. So, that's what I got to say. And I think Shane is up front talking to his babe on the telephone. Yeah, it's his anniversary today. And so, they've been married for 4 years, so. The one thing that I think is probably a hardship, and it kind of came out here in our discussion, but the communication outside is extremely difficult, and we are extremely grateful for the cell phone that City Team has let us use. That cell phone, or satellite phone, is absolutely our lifeline. In problem solving and keeping in touch with family members and everything else. So we're very, very grateful for that. That's it.
All right. Well, I think we're going to sign off here so that the download isn't too crazy for people when they try and listen to this. But on behalf of all of the fans at Geraldine.com, I just want to say thanks for spending the time, for doing the adventure, and we're all going to keep rooting for you and praying for you.
Thank you very much, Randy. How many hits are we now getting? I know that Walt said it was about 6,000 a week.
I'm going to have to take another look at it. I haven't looked at it for a while, but when I post this up, I will update it, and then I'll send a message on to you guys with that info.
Okay, that'd be great. Well, Randy, good to talk to you, and we're falling in love with your folks, and I think Shane is in line for adoption into the family. We just hope that that means chocolate chip cookies every Sunday afternoon. So, anyway, thank you for this time and for this call. And we'll thank you for the website that helps us keep in touch with all of our family and friends.
That's great, Pat. We look forward to seeing some pictures and hearing some stories from Cambridge Bay when you get there.
Okay. We'll be talking to you later.
Okay, bye now.
All right, bye-bye.